Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgeman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
So good to be continuing our series of wonder. You've got to kind of say it like an American to say it how it's spelt. Australians say wonder. It's like, that's not how it's spelt, but it's wonder. Say wonder. Wonder. It's good to be continuing this series. And, you know, Pastor Gordon spoke an incredible, incredible message this morning. It's just about the gospel, about the story of Christmas, the wonder. And I'm loving that we can come around this story in Christmas, the story of Christmas, the story of Jesus coming into the earth to make the way for you and us to come back in relationship to God. And I love the wonder of the gospel. And tonight we're exploring this topic of hope, which is such an important thing, is hope. Hope, something we hear so much about. But there's this Bible verse that's been with me all year. I can't get it out of my head. You probably have those same Bible verses. And it's from Ephesians 1. And I'm reading from verse 17 to 19. And it says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you, that's all of you, the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I love that. We can know God better. God is knowable. He's not aloof. He's not far off. He's not disinterested in us. He is knowable. And this is Paul. He's saying, I keep asking that the God would give you revelation, that you could know him better. He says in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That word heart meaning the very center and core of our being. Paul's saying, I want you to know God better, but I don't want you to just know about him in your head. I don't want you to know and have a great theology and be enlightened in knowledge about God. I want you to know deep down within yourself who God is. I want you to know him like that. You know those things that we have that you know? They're like those deep knowings. Kind of like, I don't know about you, but when it comes to the middle of the year, State of Origin comes around, most Queenslanders know that we're going to win, right? I'm sorry, our New South Wales counterparts, you probably know that you're going to lose. But it's just like, it's more than facts. It's like, I just know it. I know that my wife is going to buy me a Harley Davidson for Christmas. I know it. I know it. I just know it deep down. It is, right? I don't know. But for real, it's like when we move from knowing about God, we read in the Word of God or we hear a message that says, oh, God's good, God's faithful, or God will provide all your need, or God's for you, so who can be against you? But you know about it, but then you go through a circumstance, God teaches you and he shows you, and you know. It moves from your head into this deep knowing of who God is, and that he is good, and that he does love you, and that he is for you. This is that deep knowing that Paul's saying, I want you to know God like that deep down. But why? We go on to read, he says, in order that you may know. So first we've got to know God before we know anything else. But he says three profound things. In order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Three amazing things that we could spend a month on each of those. The hope to which he has called you, the riches, or that word means the full satisfaction of Jesus, and his incomparably great power for you who believe in him. But tonight we're talking about hope, the hope to which he has called us. Do you want to know what is the hope that he called us? Anybody in this place, are you ready? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready? Turn to your other neighbor and say, I hope so. I hope so. So I did some research on hope, and I don't know about you, but I was kind of interested to find out that it is a really heavily studied topic. And it's not just Christians, universities, scientists, psychologists, philosophers, all these people studying and wanting to know what is hope, how do we get hope, the difference between people living with hope versus people not living with hope. It's actually a really well-studied topic. And one research organization that I found actually recently, over the past 4 years, they've spent $5 million researching hope, just hope, $5 million, money worth spent, in my opinion, because hope is so vital. We know how vital hope is. But why? Why is hope so vital? Well, hope focuses on the future. And it doesn't matter who you meet, everyone wants to have a future. Everyone wants to know what's in the future. They want to know that about tomorrow. They want to know that tomorrow is good. Everyone wants to have hope. It's about our future. See, in the Bible, faith is like the big picture. Faith is the assurance of things unseen, the Bible says, which means it's not always about the future. But we can have faith and believe in things that have been, and we can have faith and believe in things now. But when we start talking about a faith that looks forward to the future, that is what hope is. That's our hope, when we look forward to the future. And we know that, like, the devastating impact it can have. Maybe you've gone through times where you don't have that hope, and what kind of effect that can have on your life. And I remember a traumatic experience from my childhood. Dad's getting nervous. It's good. You come out on top. It's all right. I had this knack. I don't know what it was, but I had this knack when I was young for getting locked in rooms, specifically toilets and bathrooms for some reason. My dad's nodding his head. I don't know what it is. If it was lockable, I'd get locked in there somehow for some reason. So normally it wasn't at our place. It'd be other people's houses. And the most traumatizing of experiences, it was at my auntie and uncle's house up the coast. And I went to the bathroom, which was like down the other end of the house, pretty isolated. Went to the bathroom, went to go out of the bathroom to open the door, which I'd locked on the way in. I went to unlock it. Fine. Push the door handle down. Oh, it's not opening. Here we go again. I'm locked in this room. I think that was probably one of the first. And then since then, it was like a series of events that kept on happening. But you know, you kind of keep trying. Okay, it's not budging. I don't know what's going on. I'm really trying here. No one can really hear you because they seem pretty far away. And then, as being the quite emotional and sensitive young man I was, I started to get really overwhelmed. And I'm like, I'm stuck. I'm going to be stuck here forever. That's it. I'm not getting out of this place. No one can hear me. I'm stuck in this toilet forever. I don't know how to get out. It's not working. And I was just getting so worked up, getting so emotional. I start crying, start screaming. Oh man, it was, my being 15 was hard. No, it wasn't when I was 15. It was when I was like five. But, but that's just the thing. We can look at situations in life that people are going through, or that people can look at that we're going through, and it seems like the most simplest thing. It's like, why are you so worried? Why are you so anxious about that? Why? It's easy. You'll get out. You'll get through it. It's fine. But when you're in it and you don't see any hope of getting out, that is hard. That's one of the toughest places to be in, and I'm sure there's many people in this place that have been in that place or are in that place at the moment. But here's the thing that I forgot when I was in that moment. This is where, Dad, you come out on top. I forgot that I was so consumed with the problem and with that I'm not getting out and I don't see any hope of getting out, that I forgot that I actually had a father just outside that door that was willing and very able to bust down that door to get to me. I tell you, it doesn't matter how hopeless you think the future is. If you don't see a hope for yourself, you have a father that sees hope for you, that will get you through. Doesn't matter what you're going through right now, how hopeless you feel right now, if you don't think you can get through, you don't think that there's a future, you don't think that there's a tomorrow, God has hope for you. It doesn't even matter what someone else has said over your life or what you've said over your own life, that maybe you're not gonna amount to anything, or, you know, there's no hope for me, I don't really see a hope. God sees a hope for you. He has a hope for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you." God has plans and thoughts for you. He says that there are plans for peace and well-being, not disaster, but to give you a future and a hope. God has plans for you. You have hope. God sees a hope for you, and it's for good and not evil. I love that. And there's been so many times in my life where I've had to read that Bible verse out to myself over and over and over and over again, because sometimes we just need to preach to ourselves, right? You know, we don't have preaching from a pulpit every day of our life, but you have the Word of God, and sometimes we just need to preach it to ourselves, because I don't see any hope for this circumstance right now, but I'm going to go to the Word of God. And do what the psalmist did in Psalm 42:5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. You got to tell yourself sometimes, put your hope in God. So what is hope? What is hope? Because as I said, it's a word that we use quite a lot, I feel. Like, you'll hear it in, I don't know about you, I hear it about it in conversation all the time. You know, people, oh, I hope that the weather is good tomorrow. I hope that I get a park at Chermside today. Not going to happen. fat chance. I hope I get that job. I hope I get that Christmas gift I wanted. And not to generalize it at all, but sometimes when we use this word hope, sometimes it can have this sense, or maybe even a whole lot of uncertainty attached to it. I hope this happens. What we're saying is it's possible for it to happen, but it probably won't happen. I hope tomorrow's better, but yesterday wasn't very good. This week, this whole year, in fact, hasn't been very good. So tomorrow's probably not going to be any good, any better. But I hope it does. So we have this sort of, we hope, but it's this uncertain kind of hope for the future. I hope I get that job, but it's probably not going to happen, so I won't get my hopes up. This is the kind of definition that hope has kind of taken it. But hope is not whimsical. Hope is powerful. Hope is not doubtful. Hope is expectant. The word hope means a confident expectation for good things in the future. That's what hope is. That's the hope that fills the Bible. That's the hope that God intends for you and I to live every day with. So hope is not doubtful, but expectant. And when I was thinking about this, a story came to my mind of actually a Christmas when I was about 12 years old. So 10 plus years ago. I can't believe I'm getting old. It feels bad to be old. It's just, I don't know. I'm still young, right? I'm still hip, I think. I'm still like in there, you know, say things like lit and all that. Yeah. So I thought I'd tell you this story about a Christmas. Maybe like a year before this Christmas, I said to my mum and dad that I wanted to learn and play guitar. I was like, I want to do it. I saw Steve Ryan, our music director up here at the time, and I was like, I just want to do that. There's something within me. I want to do that. So I told my parents, and so they went out and they bought me a nylon string acoustic guitar. You know, those ones that kind of doesn't matter how much you tune that thing, it does not stay in tune, and mainly because of the person playing with it. But It was the bee's knees. I was loving it. I was like, this is amazing. So I got some lessons as well. And then I slowly came to this realization that I'm not going to get any girls by playing a nylon string acoustic guitar. Electric guitar is the way to go, you know. Like, you can't rock out on a nylon string guitar. You need an electric guitar. That's what I wanted. So I was like, that's my thing. I want an electric guitar now. So I went to my parents. I said, hey, I want an electric guitar. I didn't have a job. That's why I went to my parents. So my dad said, he's like, look, we've got this songbook that we had from church, from an album that we put out. And he said, if you can learn 3 songs from this songbook, I'll buy you an electric guitar. I was like, that's a pretty sweet deal. I can do that. So I went away and practiced and practiced and practiced. I didn't stop at 3. I learned the whole songbook. And then one day I went to mom and dad and I said, here we go. And just rocked out for them, played the whole songbook. I think got to the point where I was like, all right, we get it. you're overachieving, you know, like whatever. But I was like, all right, now pay up. You know, I did my end of the bargain, electric guitar, right? You know, we have this, I was the youngest child. I had, you know, it's a bit of a syndrome. Nothing really happened. And then Christmas came and I was like, surely, this is when I'm going to get the electric guitar, right? If it's going to be anytime. But I wasn't sure. It hadn't happened for a couple of months. I might not be getting it. Mum and dad might not love me anymore. I don't know. I might have played up a bit, you know. So we came to Christmas. We always went up to the Sunshine Coast for Christmas. And we would pack the car up, all the presents. I was the youngest, so I'd get stuck in the back. But that was fine because I was with all the gifts. So I was like eyeing off the gifts, seeing what's going on. Like, oh, that's to you. Okay, cool. Working it all out. For some reason, when we got up there, the gifts would normally not be put straight under the tree because we'd get there a bit early. They'd be put in a closet, sort of hidden away to kind of keep the mystique and all that, I guess. One day I got up and decided I'd go on an adventure to said closet. And so I went to the closet and I saw all these gifts and I saw this one that I'd been eyeing off. I'm like, it's big, this has to be it, right? I'm not sure, but this could be it. And so just looking at it, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, somehow, like in a really inconspicuous spot, the wrapping paper had ripped a little bit, just a little bit, just before my eyes. I don't know what happened. I was like, God? And so I was like, oh, well, you know, it's there. So I had a little look and I got the tiniest glimpse of what was inside. But I was like, that's it. It was enough. I'm like, I'm getting an electric guitar. I'm sure that's what it is. It was just a glimpse, but I'm like, I'm sure that's my electric guitar. So put everything back, close the door, run upstairs. No one's the wiser. At least I thought so. And then Christmas Day rocks around and we wake up and, you know, for some reason we would do breakfast and all that first. Being a kid, you're like, breakfast? Like, who needs food? It's Christmas. You don't need coffee. It's Christmas. And so we rush everyone through breakfast, get them around the tree, and everyone's excited. Everyone's around the tree excited. Who knows that feeling of just being so excited on Christmas Day? Everyone's excited except for Granddad, because he gets the same thing every year, so he kind of knew what was coming his way. Yeah, it was ginger lollies and a polo shirt, essentially. And me. Because everyone was excited, but I was expectant. Because I'd seen a glimpse. It was just a glimpse, but it was enough. And I was expectant. I was like, everyone else was like, oh, I don't know, I'd ask for this. We'll see if it happens. I was expectant. I was ready for it to happen. I was waiting for it. So the gifts start being given out. And I'm like, oh, you got that. Wow. Oh, thanks, Grandma. You know, like, you know. And just waiting, and we're like, oh, we'll leave the big one to last. I get it, you know. And then finally, all the gifts, we've gone through them. Granddad's given out all the gifts, and then the big one, the last one is there. It's left. It's got my name on it. Gets given to me, and I unwrap it. And what's inside? My first electric guitar. I think we got a photo of it. I think I gave the guys a photo. There we go. 12-year-old Chris. That's my electric guitar. Man, that was an amazing day. But see, this is like our hope. We might just have a glimmer of the future. We don't see the whole picture, but we read in the Word of God, a promise of God. God gives us a dream. God gives us an insight. God speaks to us in some way, and it's just a glimmer. That's all it is, but that's enough. Then we can have a confident expectation of what's to come. We're not like, ah, oh, it probably won't happen. You know, no, that's enough. That glimmer we've seen, we can have a confident expectation of what's to come in that. So what are we to put our hope in? Because the easiest thing I find to find ourselves in disappointment or hopelessness is misdirected hope. Putting our hope in false hopes. So what are we to put our hope in? What does the Bible say about it? Not what do I want, but what does the Bible say about this? Well, it says in Romans 15:4, for everything that was written in the past, meaning the Word of God, was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Come on. Our hope is in God, in His Word and in His promises. Romans 15, that same chapter, but in verse 13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence in His promises. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in what He has said and what He has promised to us, His children, His church. You know, there are over 5,000 promises in this Word of God. 5,000. As Pastor Gordon said this morning, there's probably at least one in there for you that you can take and you can take a hold of and you can put your hope in God with. Our hope is not in ourself. It's not in my own ability where my hope lies. My hope is not in someone else or their ability. It's not in the universe. It's not in whatever will be. My hope is in God and in His Word. Psalm 33:16-21 says, the king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might, it cannot rescue. What's it saying? It's depicting what we just spoke about. Don't put your hope in your own strength, in armies, in might, in strength, in other people's abilities to get you through. And it answers it in verse 18. But behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death, meaning he'll save you, and keep them alive in famine, meaning he'll keep you. Our soul waits. That word means hope, confident expectation. Our soul hopes in the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Isaiah 49, 23 says, then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. That's amazing. Those who hope in God will not be disappointed. The only hope that won't falter is the hope we find in God, our Father. It'll never falter. It's a strong, robust, unshakable hope. And ultimately, and this is like the wonder of Jesus and the wonder of the gospel, is our hope is an eternal hope. My hope doesn't just get me through tomorrow or this week or this next year. My hope reaches into eternity. That's the hope that I have inside of me. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the hope that you have inside of you. Hebrews 6, 18 to 20 says, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. This hope's unshakable because it reaches into eternity. It's anchored into eternity where Christ has gone before us. It's the greatest hope of all. It's the only hope. It's the hope found in Jesus. It's the hope that will see you through difficult times. It's the hope that will see you through suffering and even death itself, because my hope doesn't end in this life. My hope is an eternal hope in Christ Jesus. It's the hope for which Christ came and died and rose again to secure for you. It's the moment to which all that has been, all that is, and all that will be is heading towards. It's a moment which the Bible teaches us to be ready for. It's the day that Jesus comes back and ushers you and I into eternity. The Bible says that is our blessed hope. That is our hope. That is our eternal hope. That is the hope that reaches into eternity, that permeates through my entire life. It's that hope that gives all my days hope, that gives all my days meaning. It's the hope I have found in Christ. No matter what I face, no matter what I walk through, it's that hope that will see me through as a sure and steadfast anchor. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God has appeared with salvation for all people. That's talking about the first time Jesus came, Christmas, what we're celebrating. Verse 12 says, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts, but to live in sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, that is, sometimes I don't think we look to that enough in our life. The hope of Jesus, that he's coming again for his church. The hope of eternity that awaits every single one of us. It's the very reason Jesus came and died and rose again for us. That we would have a hope, an eternal hope.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.